Hello and welcome to the 10x9 podcast. I'm Paul Dorn. I just wanted to say a very quick hello and a happy new year to all our listeners. Thank you for all your support in 2024. Here's to 2025 and more brilliant storytelling. Thank you to everyone who has told a story, everyone who has listened, and to everyone who has contributed via Patreon or at the live events. It is really, really helpful and we're very grateful. But more importantly, 10x9 is, of course, about the stories, and we've got a great one for you here on this bonus podcast today. I hope you'll enjoy it. It's from 2 years ago, January, in the Black Box in Belfast, 2023. Happy New Year to you all.
She's first-timer, so please, a big warm 10x9 welcome for Judith Sialianskaya.
It's as hard for them to say no as it is for you to ask. My father would occasionally surprise you with such wee quips of wisdom. What else do you say to a grumpy, fed-up 14-year-old, hating the thought of another boring summer and the sticks lined up ahead? I was desperate for a part-time job and earn my own money. As mine wasn't the kind of house where pocket money was a thing. Sure, don't you get enough to do ye? What is it you're looking? This was the kind of retort ye got if you even brought up the notion of pocket money. I proceeded to write down a list of places in and around my wee town where you might ask for a job. I had a neighbour a year older than me who worked in the local chippy, washing spuds and cutting buckets of chips. And I thought if I could get something like that, it'd be great. As I mentally pursued the possible opportunities available to me, it became clear that nepotism was rife in my wee domain of newsagents, shops and chippies. And whilst I acknowledged that most would not be employing a 14-year-old, it did not stop me from lifting the phone and asking. My hometown is very small and it looks idyllic in a passing car where it would ultimately guide you to some lovely eateries on the outskirts. Here is where I felt my opportunities might lie. I called three restaurants and inquired if they were looking to employ any cleaning staff or waiting staff. All three managers were super nice and they took my details, explaining that it probably would be highly unlikely as I didn't have a national insurance number. My comeback was, well, I thought there was no harm in asking. It was July 1991, and apart from the odd day trip to Donegal and a week's break at my mum's friend's caravan in Port Salon, there was little to look forward to. My parents were always working, and the impending doom of the 12th of July festivities in my wee town meant that there was a mass exodus of your mates going on holidays to family favourite parts of Donegal. I hated having no plans and having nothing to do. And I just remember the dullness of those days being played out with the soundtrack of the radio station Atlantic 252 Long Wave blaring in the background. August came, as did my birthday, and the phone call from one of the local restaurants. Here, are you Frank's cutty? Do you want to start waitressing this weekend? Yes and yes. Right, sure, come on Saturday. We're very busy. And we've a wedding for 180 on that day. You'll need a navy skirt and tights and a white coloured shirt. We'll sort the rest out when you get in. Grand job. Thank you. And with that, I entered the workplace. I was over the moon with excitement of earning my own money. £2.25 an hour. God love my mother. She proceeded to take her good navy line skirt and gutted the kick pleats, wonder webbing the hem for me to wear with one of my brother's old school shirts. As a young teenager, I had never worn 15 denier tights before. And even with the best maternal patient guidance, I laddered two pairs before mastering how to shimmy into them. My mother drove me the 5 miles to the restaurant, and I was sick with nerves at having to walk into this new world of work. But with my ma's skirt and my non-laddered tights on, I marched into the front bar to be met by a smiling head of front of house. Now, I can't say that this woman ever walked. She was a scuttler. In the years that followed that I worked with her, you always knew she was coming by the sound of her shoes on the tiles. I followed her up the back stairs and she showed me to the staff room, the changing room and the toilets. Everything up there was worn down and in need of a good lick of paint. In this wee tiny staff room were three busted, previously grand chairs from the front bar. A small, sticky dining table stacked high with caked dinner plates. And a fresh tray of stackable teacups and a fresh pot of coffee and a jug of milk. And a bowl of sugar with a used wet teaspoon sitting on it. This was clearly the calm before the storm, as laughing voices and footsteps clattered up into this wee room. Two barmen, two chefs, the dishwasher, and three waitresses entered and grabbed a cup of coffee as the postmortems of a class night out were continued. The two Bass Lager ashtrays, sitting mountain high with fag butts, were duly emptied into the bin as cigarettes were shared round, lit and sucked fast in a regal silk-cut haze that I was mesmerised with. Things soon calmed down for a few minutes and the introductions were made. I couldn't have been made more welcome. I felt way too young, but I just so wanted to belong to this motley crew. The chatter and the banter was happening over the muffled sound of ITV's The Chart Show, blaring on a wee yellow nicotine-stained TV, when the short, spiky-haired, mustachioed barman stood up, shushing everyone to see if, here, is bloody Bryan Adams still number one? As the piano introduction began with, look into my eyes, he took one last tight puff on the cigarette, put it out on one of the Bass ashtrays, clapped his hands together and declared, right, lads, let's get this show on the road. There were last sprays of deodorant and hairspray as the boss's Volvo came up the driveway and everyone marched down to their stations. I was taken to the office to get the rest of my uniform, and so began my learning the ropes of being a waitress in a busy small kitchen. Polishing cutlery, loading the dishwasher, how to iron linen tablecloths, how to polish glasses, making Irish Calypso Royale coffees, practicing carrying a number of plates and how to do silver service. You should never have nothing to do. There's always something needs done. I loved it. The bustle, the busy Sunday lunches, the hoping that nobody orders any more drinks after dinner on a Saturday night so that you can get the kitchen scrubbed down and get out for a beer and a boogie yourself. Over 30 years ago, I started that first job, working in that same place on and off for about 7 years as I progressed through my studies, figuring out what I wanted to do. I learnt more from the interactions I had with colleagues and customers in that job than I did throughout my whole academic studies. I've been teaching secondary school children now for over 20 years, and I still have dreams of working in that restaurant. It taught me resilience, confidence, appreciation of hospitality staff, and made me determined to work even harder at school. I look at my students of today and increasingly see them fearful of having to dare communicate. They are not confident, and they are certainly confronted with different challenges to those we had at their age. My students often come to me for advice for work experience, or asking help with accessing evidence for research projects, or some of them just simply come to have a listening ear. And I always go back to my dad's words of advice. Don't be afraid to be confident and ask for something. It's as hard for them to say no as it is for you to ask.
Judith, thank you so very much. Judith came up to me beforehand. She said, I'm so nervous. It didn't show, and you were brilliant. Thank you so much. That was a fantastic, fantastic story.